The PGA Tour presents the fusion of golf, music, sports, and entertainment. Golf Talk America. Streaming live on PGATour.com. Follow us today and every day on Twitter at Golf Talk America. Now, the Golf Talk America crew.
All right. Hello again, everybody, and welcome to Golf Talk America. Tim Matthews in with you on this beautiful Tuesday, May 31st, final day of May. And a lot of rain has been in the PGA Tour's forecast for the last few tournaments, and we'll see if that continues into the Midwest part in Ohio for the Memorial coming up this weekend. But it certainly played a role in the last two events in North Texas at the Byron Nelson and the Colonial, but not enough so that it, at least from a Colonial standpoint, did anything to mess up the plans for Jordan Spieth and or his, air quotes, hometown, if you will, fans, because they're out in droves. They love seeing everything that Jordan Spieth was doing. He and Ryan Palmer, another local guy, two North Texas residents, going at it head-to-head on Sunday's final round. And, of course, Spieth put on a great performance on the final few holes to take what was a close tournament, seemingly, and put it away comfortably in the last hour of the event, last few holes, and win at Colonial. It's one of the tournaments he's wanted to win. Being a Texan, he has a lot of pride in winning in the state, and this is his first win as a professional in the state of Texas. So he has come very, very close in Houston and in San Antonio and at the Byron Nelson and Colonial in the past. Second place finish last year, but hadn't won, and finally did. So he wants all of them. He wants Houston, San Antonio, Dallas, Fort Worth. He wants them all. So this is at least a start for him, and a long, long tradition. Colonial goes back, I think, one of the longest events on the PGA Tour. I'm trying to remember which ones go back further, but it goes all the way back to late 40s with Ben Hogan. So you can't have much more history than you have at Colonial, and certainly a big event and a big big day for Jordan Spieth to win at Colonial. We're going to talk about that. We have Jim Nugent joined us with Global Golf Post in a little bit to talk about that as well. Also, Earl Forsey, PGA Tour radio host, calling the action at Colonial. So we'll talk to him about what he saw and witnessed and his insight into how Spieth won again, second time this year. You have to go all the way back to January to catch Spieth's victory, his first victory in Hawaii. So it's been, again, a bit of a drought, if you want to call it that. But I guess by his standards, it has been. Sets up some great golf for Memorial with all the big dogs, including Spieth and Day and McIlroy and Fowler and Bubba and everybody heading to Dublin, Ohio. So it sets up a lot of drama for that tournament coming up and a lot of winners going to that event. And certainly great that Spieth is going there off of a win. So we'll talk about that coming up. Also, yesterday, catch everybody up. In case you missed it, don't know if anybody did, Golden State stays alive. Come back from 3-1 down in the Western Conference Finals, beats Oklahoma City last night 96-88 and wins that series 4-3. Steph Curry with 36 points and a lot of drama in that game. They were trailing. Golden State was most of the game. Finally catch up in the last quarter and put it away in the last 2 minutes of the game, but that's how close this game was. And so Golden State and Cleveland will have a rematch in the NBA Finals starting on Thursday. Golden State against Cleveland and the Cavaliers at full strength. Last year, Golden State won the finals 4-2, but other than LeBron, not a lot of help because of injuries to Kyrie Irving and also to Kevin Love. So full strength for Cleveland. We'll see what happens in this finals. But the Golden Boys, LeBron and Steph Curry, coming to the forefront in the NBA Finals. The NBA has to be thrilled with this as their final matchup to see the superstars rising to the top, as you would expect in the finals. I want to ask Frank Bassett, our man in the know when it comes to college football. He tries to stay up on a lot of things. They're in Nashville. Hey, first of all, Frank, how are you doing this morning?
Good. I'm good this morning. Memorial Day weekend, it was great. Yeah.
A couple of things of note in college football. And you're an Ole Miss grad, so we'll start with Ole Miss. And Hugh Freeze has pretty much owned up to the fact that there's a self-imposed probation and loss of scholarships, and he says, you know what, things happen on my watch, and the NCAA has been investigating, and then, of course, what happened with Tunsil during the draft, admitting that he got some money. They're investigating that further. But he says, hey, I'm the head coach, and a buck stops with me. although he did say, I don't know about any of these things, which you kind of expect. That's what they say. But I am the head coach. And so the NCAA looks at it this way, and they say, no longer can you say, I don't know what's going on over here. If those boosters are paying those players, I don't know anything about it, and the coach gets off. If things happen, the NCAA has now said, like they did with Larry Brown at SMU when he was found that things were going irregular, things happening in the basketball program, they suspended him for 9 games to start the season, even though he said, I didn't know he was having someone help him with his classes or whatever. You can't say that much anymore. But Hugh Freeze is at least owning up to the fact that the buck stops with him. What do you feel? How do you feel about that as an Ole Miss grad?
Well, I think that Hugh Freeze is a first-class guy. And stepping up and saying the buck stops with me is typical Hugh Freeze. I mean, he probably didn't know what was going on. I can certainly tell you, being an Ole Miss graduate and being around a lot of the boosters, this is nothing against them, but there are, as in any program, and you know, Tim, SMU, there are a lot of egos that were from boosters. And I'm behind Hugh Freeze. I always have been. I'm very disappointed in the Rebels. It's sad to see. It's sad for all of football. And this is bad. This is not like the NCAA dumping on the SMU golf team for actually something silly and stupid. But, it's just sad. I'm not happy about it at all. But then again, if we did wrong, we did wrong. Let's take our lumps. But I think the coach ought to probably one-on-one some of these players and just, you know, put them in the hot box and go after them. I mean, put the fear of God into the players.
We'll see if this changes too, though, Frank, because the NCAA is now starting to pay a stipend to the players. And they're saying, okay, we're going to give them some pocket money. We're going to give them different programs and different levels, Division I, Division II, III, so on, a different amount of money to try to avoid just this, because Tunsil has admitted that he has contacted the assistant athletic director. He needed money for his mom's utilities and her rent. And, you know, and there's a lot of kids in college football, you might even say the majority of them, that have financial issues. And they're trying to avoid that. And so the NCAA has always said, well, you can't give them a dime. If you do, you're going to go get hit by probation or something else. Now they're saying, okay, we'll give you a little bit of money so you can help mom with some utilities, help yourself if you don't have any money to go buy a burger or whatever, which I think is the right thing to do. They don't have to pay them a salary. You don't have to give them big money, but you've got to make sure these kids have some money in their pocket so they don't have the temptation. And so we'll see if all that changes down the road. This a lot of these things with Ole Miss happened before. Last year was the first year they were giving some money to the players, the NCAA.
Right.
We'll see if it changes now that they actually have some money in their pocket and aren't as tempted. There certainly is always going to be somebody with their hand out, but it may take away a lot of the temptation for some of these guys. Now, the other story in college football, Frank, that we'll wrap up here for you is Baylor. We haven't talked in a
my
few
dad's,
days.
That's my dad's school, by the way.
Yeah.
My dad's a Baylor grad.
We know all the issues that have happened. I think everybody's well aware of what happened with Baylor, and they fired their coach, and the president got reassigned. Now the athletic director last night sent in his resignation. He was only going to be kind of slapped on the wrist and put on probation, but he was not going to lose his job. But he's decided on his own to resign. Certainly there might have been pressure, you could assume, from some people to say he should resign, but he has. They also hired a new interim coach, and the title is interim. And they went outside the program because the thought was they were going to go with Phil Bennett, who was a defensive coordinator. And people said, well, really, why are you going to stay with somebody who's there who might have been involved with some of the problems they had with the sexual assaults and how they handled that?
Yeah.
So they've hired Jim Grobe, who's the interim coach. He was at Wake Forest most recently as the head coach. Small private school, just like Baylor. And they think he had a pretty good success at Wake Forest. That maybe there's some similarities there. Also a Baptist university that they can look at and say, okay, he knows what he's going into. And so that's the situation at Baylor. What do you think about that whole thing at Baylor?
I like that choice. I like that choice, though, with him. I mean, yeah, the whole thing at Baylor's, again, what's going on? I mean, we're out of control. Money is a driving force, and we all know that.
Yeah.
It's money is not the root of all evil. The love of money is the root of all evil.
Yeah.
And I don't know, Tim. It's frustrating for me. It's almost like I don't want to watch sports on TV anymore because of the underpinnings of what's going on. Play for the love of the game. Well, it's easy for me to say, you know. Kind of like radio. We do it for the love of radio. I mean, my opinion is so generic here. It's, well, you know me, and you know my moral foundation. It's just wrong, dead wrong, stinking wrong, and somebody needs to get a big stick and just beat the ever-loving you-know-what, in my opinion, out of some of these players. You know,
well, I mean,
fear is a great motivator, and I was afraid if I did something wrong growing up that I would get beat upside the head. You know what I mean?
But these kids aren't afraid anymore.
They're not afraid.
There's so much money, and these coaches are making so much money. Well, who wants to walk away? If you're Art Briles, the former coach at Baylor, and you're making $6 million a year to coach football, when it wasn't that long ago where a coach was lucky to make $1 million a year, that was a big salary. It just keeps going. And you got to look at it and say, okay, if Nick Saban wanted to move and go to Michigan or go to some other big you know somebody would pay him $10 million to do that. It's like, okay, well, that's so much temptation there because nobody wants to lose that job. And if you start feeling like, oh, well, if we're going to lose these players because they're misbehaving off the field, or you're going to kind of look the other way, which is what Art Briles is accused of because he doesn't want to lose. So, yeah, even that comes down to money. You know, you want to keep winning. You want to keep your job going. You want to build new stadiums. And so, yeah, it's kind of a bad comment on our society that we value that so much that we're going to look the other way of, in this case, the Baylor case, of students being harmed and serious issues about students on campus and their safety so that we can, what, make more money, keep money in our pocket? I mean, that's what it's about, over the safety and well-being of students that are being victimized. It's just it's horrible that it would come down to this, but there we go. And I mean, it just keeps happening. And you know what? As much as we're talking about it, Frank, you and I will be talking about it next year. Some other program, some other issue, something, and it'll come down to money, and they look the other way, they cheat, they do something. Nobody seems to learn, or everybody doesn't seem to learn a lesson from it. There's always somebody who's going to try to skirt the law, if you will. So
yeah, and by the way, talking about the NCAA Men's Golf Championships are underway.
Yes.
And our good friend Brendan Sweeney is out there and will be giving us a report after the tournament. So he'll come on with us and give us a report about what's happening on the West Coast with all these guys. And Vanderbilt, really proud of the Commodores here. My goodness. LSU, of course. You know, Winstead is one of the best coaches, like Mike Small at Illinois, which was, you know, what happened there. But it's going to be exciting. I'm looking forward to the men's golf championships.
By the way, Texas won the stroke play portion, which finished on Monday.
Portion
in the NCAAs by just one shot over Illinois, you just mentioned right there. So they finished 14 over. And one by one shot, even though Illinois made up 11 shots yesterday.
Yeah. So what was that all about?
Played extremely well, but just came up one shot short. So now they move into the match play portion, and Texas will face Oklahoma, appropriately enough. But Texas will go against Oklahoma in their first match play portion of the tournament, which starts today. So that'll be cool to have Brendan. It's all taking place out at in Oregon, and it'll be cool to have Brendan give us an update on what's going on in the college golf event, because the future Bryson DeChambeau's of the world, and Jordan Spieth, and most of these guys played college golf to some degree or some level. It might be a year in Spieth's case, or 4 years for DeChambeau, and you know, it's good to kind of keep an eye on these college guys, because these are the guys that within a few years could be superstars on the PGA Tour. So
And another teaser too, real quick, is that Damon Goddard, Amped Fitness in Dallas, Texas, you know Damon, is Jordan Spieth's fitness trainer. And he's not joining us today. He couldn't be on with us today, but he's going to join us this week and talk about talk about getting fit and talk about Jordan Spieth and talk about getting us off the donuts. So
he's working with Jordan right now, which is why he couldn't talk to us. I don't know why that's a priority to him. It seems a little skewed to me.
Funny enough, Tim, we called him one day, just called him out of the blue from the show. We were doing the live shows. Remember those days when we were streaming live? And we just called, and he answered his cell phone, and I said, "How's it going, buddy? We're on the air. Jump on with us." You know, we started talking, and he said, I said, "What's up with Jordan?" He said, "Well, I don't know. You can ask him. He's standing right here," and he handed the phone to Jordan. So Ned Michaels was on with us that day, and he caught Ned totally off guard, and that's the first time I've seen Ned at a loss for words. He didn't know what to say.
Well, we will talk to him later this week, and that is a big part of all these young golfers is they've got a team of people, and it's in their heads, it's their bodies, it's their swing, it's their short game. I mean, it takes a village to be on the PGA Tour today. That's for darn sure. Guys like Jack Nicklaus and Trevino, you know, kind of roll their eyes and go, you know, I did it by myself, and my wife was my swing coach. You know, I mean, and she was my chauffeur, and you know, and somehow we seem to win a lot of tournaments doing it that way, and they kind of roll their eyes at how everybody seems to need, you know, 15 people around him now to win a golf tournament. But yeah, we'll talk to Damon coming up. I guess we got Jim Nugent. Let's take a break. We got Jim Nugent standing by, ready to talk to us. Is that right? We got Jim.
That's right.
Global Golf Post. Earl Forsey coming on a little bit later. So let's take a break, and we will be joined by Jim Nugent, publisher of Global Golf Post. When we come back, you're listening to Golf Talk America here on PGA Tour Radio. Welcome back to Golf Talk America here on PGA Tour Radio. Tim Matthews in with you on the 31st of May. It's a couple of days. It's one day after Memorial Day, a couple of days after Sunday's final round at the Dean and DeLuca Invitational that saw Jordan Spieth win for the first time on Texas soil as a PGA Tour player at a in-state, if you will, event. And he was thrilled to do it. Got close at the Byron Nelson the week before, but finally put it away with three birdies on the final three holes. He's actually the first guy in 70 years of play at Colonial, now the Dean and DeLuca Invitational, first guy to win birdieing the final three holes on his way to victory. And he did it with a beautiful birdie putt on 16 that was a big uphill breaking right to left putt that found the bottom of the cup. I think you're just trying to get that one close and it goes in. Then he chips in. It shows you sometimes where guys get upset when they miss an approach shot. And it's either in the bunker or it goes long of the green or short. Sometimes that sets up the best next shot, and it did in Spieth's case because he chips in from behind the green and down low. Not an easy chip, but it goes in the cup and then rolls in a 35-footer for birdie on 18 to finish things off and kind of had to smirk and laugh like, okay, that kind of looked easier than it really was. But it was a big, big victory for Jordan Spieth. And join us now to talk a little bit about that and some other things is Jim Nugent. He's the publisher of Global Golf Post, online golf magazine that will tell you how you can get your free subscription in just a little bit. Jim, how are you doing today?
Good morning, Tim, and thank you very much for having me on.
So what did you think about Spieth? It got kind of interesting. He had a bogey. He started with three birdies on the back nine at 10, 11, and 12, but then he bogeys 13, and it was within a stroke or two, and he had some, you know, Ryan Palmer was hanging and Harrison English, and it could have gone at that point either way, a birdie here, a bogey by another guy. How were you feeling before he got to 16? Were you thinking Spieth's kind of got his head going again, and he was thinking about maybe a little bit of Masters, a little bit of the week before at the Byron Nelson?
Yeah, I'm sure all those thoughts were going through his head. But, you know, you have to step back and keep in mind that he's now won twice in the first 5 months of the PGA Tour season. And so those out there, and some of them in the media, who were going to bury him after an unfortunate outing at Augusta National, I think it was awfully premature. And the kid's 22. He's resilient. He's going to be just fine. The other thing that I think we saw, though, and he all but admitted it, winning in Texas was important to him, more so than he might have ever let on. He has become not just America's favorite son, but certainly Texas's favorite son, following in the long tradition of great Texan golfers, going back to Ben Hogan and Kite and Crenshaw. It's all Jordan right now, and winning in front of his hometown fans was much more important, much more emotional for him than I think any of us understood. And it's great to see him get that box checked off on his resume.
Spieth was second in the field in strokes gained putting, just over 9 strokes that week of the Colonial. Not surprising, I guess, to most people. He does seem to sometimes have troubles with that short 3-4 footer. He seems to be much more comfortable if he's at 18 feet. But are you maybe amazed is too big a word for it, but are you constantly impressed by how good he is with that flat stick?
Yeah, I don't know. You know, I'm not sure who I've ever seen putt quite as well as Jordan Spieth and Mike Kime. Maybe Ben Crenshaw. When Jordan's putting well, he's going to win, or he's going to be right there. It's about that simple, because his ball striking is fairly consistent, and it isn't too sophisticated, isn't too complex. Really, it boils down to, is he going to make a bunch of putts to save the occasional par, to make birdie? And when he does, he's going to be a factor every single time he tees it up.
We're talking with Jim Nugent, publisher of Global Golf Post. You're talking about how important it was to win in Texas. At one point, as a matter of fact, I think it might have been the first tee box when he was starting his final round on Sunday. Some fan yelled out before he teed off, not in his backswing, but as he was getting ready to approach his tee shot, "Remember the Masters." And in reference, I believe everybody thought, as "Remember the Alamo," the saying that every Texan is well aware of and takes pride in, to say, okay, now it's time to get tough and remember the Alamo. And Spieth's response to that afterwards was not exactly the words I wanted to hear, because he kind of took it as "Remember the Masters," like when you choked and things went horribly wrong and bad and all the bad things about it. So I think there was a miscommunication. I think the guy meant something good by it, you know, like to spur him on to victory. And Spieth just took it as, well, thanks for that memory to put in my brain right before I tee off.
You know, the problem with late tee times for some of these guys is that the fans have been on the premises for several hours and have enjoyed more than their share of adult beverages already. So
I think Jordan straight.
He was classy. He let it go. He didn't say anything and didn't let it get under his skin.
So the tournament coming up now, Memorial, big tournament, Jack's tournament. Everybody loves it. Big names are playing in it. It kind of makes it even more interesting, doesn't it? Not that you don't want Harris English to win a tournament, but it's different. Now that Spieth wins Colonial, and now he's heading there and facing Day and Rory, and Day has won three times on tour. Adam Scott has won twice. Now Spieth has won twice. It does add a nice sense of added drama to what's going to go on this week, doesn't it?
Yeah, it really does. You know, Jack gets a great field year in and year out. But this year he's got the stars aligned because of how well the big three are playing, you know, each with big wins. And in the case of Jason and Jordan, a couple of wins. But there's other really, you know, hot players out there, as you point out. And so not only is it a great field, it's a field that's characterized this year by some guys that are really playing well. And it's a fabulous golf course, as we all know. It's going to probably be a better test than Players was, because the golf course is going to be in better shape. So it sets up for a really interesting week in Ohio.
It's going to be something I think a lot of people are, if the weather holds off, they've been so used to so much rain lately, the last several tournaments having at least some part of a delay, that it happened both at the Byron Nelson and Colonial, the two most recent stops on the PGA Tour. Nothing you can do about it. I mean, it's, you know, we can complain all we want, but it'll be interesting. They've had some rain in the Midwest as well, and I'm not sure the forecast coming up, but we'll see if that plays a factor in it. Before I let you go, Jim, I'm curious, do you think that these guys, the ones we just talked about, all the young great players, have the respect, deserved respect for Nicklaus? He's certainly much older. He's a grandfather age for a lot of these guys, but I think golfers, more almost than any other sport, know their history and know who did what, when, and where, and it certainly is not like Jack isn't a prominent name. But do you think it means an extra because of Jack's affiliation with this tournament? Does it mean more to these guys that they get to shake Jack's hand if they hold the trophy on Sunday?
Yeah, I think it does. I think there's, you know, two guys that the players want to win their tournaments, Arnold and Jack. Jack is you know, aging a little bit better than Arnold is these days. Jack is 10 years younger also. But he also does a very good job, Jack does, of networking with the current generation. So many of them live down in the Palm Beach corridor or spend time down in that corridor. And he spends time with them. He hosted a whole bunch of the Ryder Cup hopefuls over at his house one day during the Honda tournament several weeks ago. So this one means just a little bit more, and I think all of them would like to shake Jack's hand and accept the check and the trophy on Sunday.
Well, it's all going to be started in a couple of days. We'll see how it all shakes out. Hey, Jim, for people that want to subscribe to Global Golf Post, what would they need to do?
All you have to do is go to globalgolfpost.com. You can sign up for a free subscription there. We publish every Monday morning at 6 a.m. Central Time. We're going to tell you everything you need to know about what happened in the game of golf the previous week, and we'll have outstanding coverage from our Ron Green at Muirfield this week.
All right, there you go. All you have to do, globalgolfpost.com, and you're going to love it. Great stories, great articles, great photos. It's got everything you need right there at Global Golf Post. Jim, thanks so much for your time and your insight. We appreciate it, as always, and hope you have a great week this week.
Thanks for having me on, Tim. Appreciate it.
Okay, thank you. Jim Nugent, publisher of Global Golf Post. I do subscribe to it, and you should too. It doesn't cost you anything. Just takes you 30 seconds. Sign up, and you'll get it in your email box every Monday. And well worth the time, and some great, keeps you updated on everything you need to know. This show and Global Golf Post combined, that's all you need to have to know what's going on in the world of golf. Let's take a quick break, top of the hour, and when we come back, we'll be joined by Earl Forsey, the host of PGA Tour Radio, to break down and give us some of his insight into what Spieth did at Colonial. Look a little ahead to Memorial as well. It's all right here on Golf Talk America on PGA Tour Radio when we come back. Welcome back, Golf Talk America. Tim Matthews in with you. It is Tuesday, 31st of May, and joining us right now, let's get right to it. Get to the meat of the thing. Earl Forsey, the voice of PGA Tour Radio, joining us now. Earl, how are you doing on this Tuesday?
Doing great. How about you guys? What's going on?
Not too bad. So let's talk a little bit about Colonial, one of the most historic tournaments, the Dean and DeLuca Invitational. First of all, as a broadcaster, let me ask you this. Was it tough saying Dean and DeLuca Invitational and not having Colonial in there, although certainly you'd say it was at Colonial and all that, but having a name change like that after so many years of being the Colonial Invitational or the title sponsor at Colonial and all that, is it hard sometimes to make that adjustment?
You know, the funny thing is, no, they and I'm not just patting myself on the back, but I have tricks for remembering things and keeping things in order. But it's not just golf. I mean, throughout the years, you know, bowl games and, you know, things like that, everything changes. Stadium names. And right. It used to be where I could just go through, I wouldn't even have to think about it, whether it's NFL stadiums or something, and just refer to something just because they didn't change, you know, and now everything's
right.
Renamed and stuff. So no, it really, in the end, I mean, we deal with this a lot. So personally, no, but I have certain tricks to kind of keep me in line. And because you do, you blank out, and you tend to, as long as I've been doing it, you fall back on things just without thinking about it. The only time I've really done that, to be honest with you, is a long time ago, and I was working at another radio station in D.C., and I switched and went to a network in Chicago, and I guess like the first weekend or two there, I go to a break, and the producer just kind of got in my ear and said, you know, you didn't, well, I misidentified the network. I referred to my old station. Going to a break. And had no idea I did it. Just kind of, because it came so commonplace type of thing. So
yeah,
that's kind
yeah.
of the only time, really, you know, by accident I've done it. So we try to keep those things in line. That's what I'm there to do. So it was.
You're a traffic cop.
It was good to have. You know, it's good that really that Dean and DeLuca stepped in and become you know, part of that golf tournament to help keep the tradition going, because that is, you know, that's kind of a mainstay on the PGA Tour and has been for so long now. And it was nice to see, I know for a lot of fans there, to see one of their own get it done last week, and, you know, pretty dramatic fashion in the end.
Yeah, were you let's go back to Spieth wins it by three shots over Harris English, but after he gets birdies on 10, 11, and 12, comes out with a bogey, it's Harris English is playing well, Ryan Palmer's playing well, Reifers and Webb Simpson, they're all in the hunt, they're all right there. At that point, after the bogey for Spieth, Are you kind of thinking, uh-oh, he's kind of, his head's now going back to Augusta, his head's going back,
you know,
to Byron Nelson?
No one had gotten on any kind of really run on the back nine at that point. Harris English made the big move, made eagle at one. Palmer makes those two quick birdies to start the round, but then kind of cooled off. So, no, I mean, you kind of felt at that point it looked like it was going to be between English and Spieth, you know, and then the hiccup down the stretch by Harris English, and it didn't really, in the end, mean much because Spieth made those birdies coming in. The only guy to birdie three in a row coming in, 16, 17, and 18. And, you know, 17 was the killer. I mean, that was the knockout punch. When you do that, You know, he's trying to get up and down to say par at that point. You know, you're thinking, can he do that? And then you chip in for birdie and you're two up with one to play. I mean, forget about it. So, now really, I think at that point it looked like those two guys. English was there really from the get-go, put some pressure on him right away, and then, you know, Spieth with that run coming in really probably in the end didn't matter much for what Harris English would have done down the stretch, because he would have had to do the same thing even to, you know, have had a chance at the end.
What's great about golf and being at a tournament, or in our case, announcing at a golf tournament, unlike any other sport, because it's action going on all around, not just in one location like at a football or baseball game, is when you hear that crazy sound, if you're with Harris English or you are Harris English and you hear the crazy noise going, you know something good just happened with Jordan Spieth. You're not sure. He holed out, he putted, made a long. You don't know what's going on, and yet you know something probably not good for you just happened. And, you know, and so I always find it intriguing to look at these guys, because they always look at their caddy to kind of go, okay, what was that, an eagle? Was that a birdie roar? What kind of roar? They're trying to figure it out in their head, which is one of the more unique things about golf. You don't always know where you stand. Most teams, you know, I got to do it.
Kind of a traditional layout, and then, you know, everybody's packed pretty tight there, so you get those roars. Mark Carnevale was our analyst this week and mentioned during one of those roars, I forget which one it was, but he mentioned, you know, that, look, he was out there for years tracking Tiger and all that stuff, and, you know, mentioned that really Spieth right now today, look, Rory and Jason Day and all these guys are doing great things, but at this point, you know, especially PGA Tour golf, those kind of roars, those, you know, cheers that you hear, you know, it's really only one guy getting them right now. It's Jordan Spieth. You know, those kind. And Carney made reference to that. Like, it's shades of Tiger. Well, there's a cheer, there's a roar, and there's that guy's roar. You know what I'm saying?
Right, right.
So it's not that they knew just something was going on behind them, that it was you-know-who doing something behind them. In this case, Spieth. I'll tell you what, the first time, really, that the big one early in the day was the par save he made. I guess it was eight, the par
eight,
three,
yeah.
And he makes that 30-footer or whatever it is. And, you know, English has got to think he made birdie there or chipped in or did something. You know, it was in the end only a par. And I say only a par, but that, you know, for him, that kept things going. And I mentioned at that time, that feels like a birdie because you're expecting probably going to drop a shot. And when you make a bomb like that, in essence, it's like picking up a shot because you're figuring it's going to be a four.
Sure.
Here. And then, you know, so it wasn't just the birdie roars he was hearing, those kind of things. He gets those for pars, and it was a big one, obviously, and a big putt. But, yeah, I think, you know, that's in today's game, with all the great play and all the great players, really kind of Spieth has that little edge because he's become such a fan favorite that he kind of gets those little extra something roars and those kind of things that maybe some of the other guys aren't getting.
You know, it sets up, and by the way, we're talking with Earl Forsey, a host of PGA Tour Radio. It sets up a great memorial tournament coming up this week, and the fact that Spieth, if you will, back in the hunt, not that he was that far removed from the hunt, but, you know, the way we are in today's society, it's like, okay, what did he do in the last week? Nothing? Okay, well, then he's in a drought. But you've got Day having won the Players' Championship. Now you have Jordan winning the most recent tournament, going to Memorial. Obviously, Rory played very well in his homeland recently. So the big three all playing very well. It does, like it or not, when these guys are playing well versus missing cuts or, you know, finishing back of the pack, tie for 18th or whatever, it makes this week, to me at least, and I'm asking you the same thing, it makes it a lot more exciting, dramatic, thinking, oh, this is going to be some, here they come. Here's the big guys. They're all on their game. Here they are.
There's no doubt. I mean, and this is kind of the first big week now. Look, it sets up a great summer with all the big tournaments coming up and Olympics and the Ryder Cup at the end after the playoffs. But you're right. This now, with the momentum of Spieth win and what McIlroy did a couple of weeks ago coming off win and Jason Day coming back fresh, yeah, I mean, this is kind of a week where you kind of get them all together and see what happens. Now, we know in golf, even in the days where everybody's hoping for Tiger and Phil and all that stuff, a lot of times when you're hoping or expecting for that, it doesn't happen. It's somebody else. So you have to be careful with it. But that's why this is a huge tournament. It's a course that, you know, a lot of history there now. Muirfield Village has become, you know, President's Cup host, and it's one of the, you know, good test, one of the tracks that guys look forward to playing, and a lot of big names obviously always show up there at Jack's tournament. And now you get all these guys coming in on, you know, pretty much all riding momentum. You know, it's, something's got to give. They're going to be going, you know, three wide in turn one. It's kind of, you know, what are they? It's kind of a NASCAR race this week. It, yeah. It's going to be fun to watch to put them all out there and kind of see what happens. And hopefully,
who do you think?
Hopefully, you know, the result lives up to the hype, because a lot of times that doesn't happen.
Yeah, I mean, David Lingmuirth is the defending champion at Memorial. Yeah. Just to let you know, it's not always going to be the big name guys. Who do you think of those three, of Rory and Jordan and Jason Day, who's the most clutch? Who's the guy that doesn't get affected by the negative things, or by even playing partners next to me who I'm playing with one of these guys?
That's a good question, because that's a little different way of asking it. Like, you know, out of the guys, who do you think? How can you not say Jordan Spieth is the most clutch? With what he's done in the last year and a half at major championships, when he does things like he did over the weekend, like I just mentioned, that up and down at 17, to the chip in, you're looking to get up and down. And those are things that, and I'll refer back to Tiger again, but, you know, the comparisons obviously are being made. He's won now eight times before the age of 22, but that's what made him so good. He wasn't just saving par. He was making birdies out of it. You know, he was killing
right
with those shots. Those are, like, those are daggers. Those are knockout blows. They crush the spirit of the competition. Whether guys want to admit it or not, that does. It happens. And those, in those days, you know, on Sunday, on the back nine, when you do that kind of stuff, that crushes people. And there's no doubt, probably consistently, and you put together the way he hits the ball and everything he does in the short game, probably Jason Day right now at this place and time is the best player, because it's up for debate. But if you want to take it that way, sure. Rory McIlroy's got the credentials, and Rory McIlroy's the guy that, boy, if he just gets it in gear again, that's the guy. You know, he's like the Jordan. He's the guy that, with the uber talent and everything, and he's dangerous because of that. And then there's Jordan Spieth that just, you know, goes along, does everything well, and has the knack for the moment, the flair for the dramatic. I use that phrase over and over again this weekend because it was fitting. So I think if you're talking clutch right now, you know, it's hard to say. You got three guys that are major champions, and all the things they've done, they're all clutch in their own way. But if you need a putt from 25 feet or 30 feet made, or you got to get up and down, you got a guy just off the green, which one are you going with? I'm going with Spieth.
Yeah, I don't disagree. I don't disagree with you. And I agree with you, too, that I think of all the guys, Rory's the guy that you got to double team, to use another parlance. You got to double team that. If he's hot, you got to get everybody on top of, because Rory will bury you, I think, if he's hot, more so than the other guys.
Well, he's certainly the guy, in other sports terms, he's the guy with another gear, isn't he? I mean, really.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's the one intangible whenever he's there. Does he amp it up to that next notch? Which, when he does, and the other guys are great, and we're leaving out a bunch of players, too, that can certainly do it. Guys like Bubba, Dustin Johnson, Adam Scott. But, you know, when McIlroy kind of hits that fifth gear, he's tough. And it hasn't always happened here the last year or so. But it's, like I said, you got a lot of momentum on the side of all these guys coming in now. And, I mean, it's a sprint to the finish. You know, this is the point of the year now. We're post-Memorial Day, starting this week, and I've been leading up to this. I keep saying it week after week, but it's true. You're here now. You've got this. You've got all the majors, World Golf Championships, FedEx Cup playoffs, Ryder Cup, Olympics before that. It's like week after week now. It's going to be a grind for these guys. I mean, it's going to be interesting to watch.
And by the way, I'll let you go before I do, got to ask you about did the Warriors win the Western Conference Finals last night, or did the Thunder blow it? Did they give it to them?
Yeah, no, in the end, they won. Look, I was on, and I'm doing local stuff in D.C. again yesterday, but I was on yesterday doing stuff, and we're talking about Durant, because, look, he's a local guy. He's from here, and everybody, this is now the summer of Durant, because he's a free agent. Obviously, people want him to come back here and kind of do a LeBron and, you know, ride in on the white horse and kind of try to save things here. But, no, in the end, it looks bad, because it's a 3-1 lead and they didn't win the series. You know, that,
right.
That's hard to do, and it's while it does happen, you're supposed to win those series no matter who you're playing. However, to be the champ, you got to beat the champ. You know, in boxing terms, you got to knock him out usually. And they let the champ off the mat twice. They had him double digits down. Look, and as good as they played, I'm, you know, credit to Oklahoma City for as well as they played when they could have been completely blown out last night, I thought. You know, coming off that game six, and really that was your chance at home. You've already won once in Oakland, which was almost impossible to do this year for anybody. To have to do it twice in a series, that was almost impossible. And they jumped out quickly last night, did what they had to do, and got up double digits. But, you know, it's not just Steph Curry. It's all those guys around him. They've got a really good mix of players, and they have not played as well as they did during the regular season. I don't know if it took anything out of them to go for 73 wins, whatever. And they survived that series, and they really haven't played their best basketball. And who knows if they do against LeBron and the Cavaliers coming up. But, you know, it's hard to say because those other guys won it just as badly. And I think you're looking at Durant and Westbrook, in my opinion, two of the top five players in the NBA in the same team. I think probably he ends up staying there in the end, at least for another year. He's got a chance to do that, do another year without a long-term extension. So my guess is that's what happens because where are you going to go? If you're Kevin Durant, where are you going to go to give yourself a better chance? And who are you going to play alongside? No disrespect to anybody else. But, you know, when you get, it's Batman or Robin. You got Durant and Westbrook, you know. I mean, and maybe they add something. And they probably need to do something because the fact is they didn't get it done. They had to change something. But, you know, Billy Donovan this year, I mean, they to me they kind of took the next step. Doing what they did, beating San Antonio, putting the Warriors on the brink. You got to get a little bit better, and they're going to have to go through Golden State probably again next year too. But it's hard to say that Oklahoma City choked. I know you probably feel that way if you're a Thunder fan, but in the end, those other guys are just that's a special team, and they did, you know, something special coming back 3-1 in a conference final. It's been a while.
Has been a while, and by the way, Earl, did you see the salaries in the last 30 seconds? You can comment on salaries. That if Durant stays in Oklahoma City, they're talking $227 million extension, the final 3 years of his contract, which would be like 2020-21 or wherever, we'd be making 42, 44, and 45 million per year.
Yeah,
it's mind boggling, isn't it?
Well, I'm in D.C. Bryce Harper's contract's coming up in a couple of years.
$600 million.
$450 to $500 million. We're talking 10 years.
Seriously.
Yeah, I mean, that's probably where they're going to end up. I think they probably start at $400 at $40 million a year. And he just re-upped with Under Armour recently. They didn't put any numbers. They were quiet on the numbers, but they did point out he was the richest endorsement contract that baseball players ever signed. So just go figure that. What is that probably? 15 to 20 a year. So there's at some point in 3 years or so. Between one endorsement deal and salary, Harper's probably going to be making $65 to $70 million a year.
Unbelievable.
Before Gatorade and all that other stuff he does.
And he's about Spieth's age. So, they're about the same age, right?
Those NBA guys are making a lot of money, but there's always somebody making more.
I guess.
Yeah.
All right, Earl, I appreciate it. Thanks for all the insight and the info as well. And we'll be talking to you again, I'm sure, next week as well.
Yep,
so have a great week, Earl. Okay.
Should be a good week.
Take care. Earl Forsey, PGA Tour Radio. Be sure to listen. Memorial coming up, the next tournament, obviously. Jack's tournament in Dublin. All the big guys already there, getting ready, warming up, practice rounds, you name it, they've got it. And I'm sure Jack has that course in spectacular shape. It's well worth going if you have time and can get to Dublin, Ohio. But certainly well worth watching on TV as well. Just a beautiful, beautiful layout for that golf tournament Memorial. And again, it seems to be always in pristine condition. And let's face it, Jack loves Augusta, as everybody does. And he wanted to mimic his tournament as much as he could with Augusta as far as perfect, pristine conditions and whatnot. So it is a beautiful setting for a golf tournament. We'll see what happens. Again, defending champion, David Lingmuth. Go figure. I think I could win a trivia contest if most people, if you ask him that question, they're not going to remember David Lingmuth probably winning last year. But all the big names will be there and should be a lot of drama. All right, that'll do it for today's show. Thanks, everybody, for listening. We certainly appreciate it. Thanks to Jim Nugent with Global Golf Post for being with us, and Earl Forsey as well with PGA Tour Radio. For Bobby Raymond and Frank Bassett, I'm Tim Matthews. Thanks, everybody, for listening. We'll catch you next time right here on Golf Talk America.